In the most ancient times, in the golden age of the human race, when people loved the Lord most of all, people dwelt in tents. In that time, most families were shepherds of sheep. So they would pitch their tent in a certain place, and their sheep would eat the grass in that area. And when the grass was eaten, then they would fold up their tent and move to a new place and pitch their tent there. And the sheep could eat the grass there. They would move from place to place. And the Lord teaches us that at that time, there weren't churches in the sense of a building where lots of families came together to worship the Lord, but each family worshiped the Lord in their own tent. And in their tents, the fathers would teach their children how to love the Lord and how to love their neighbor. And at that time, people were most free from the love of ruling or bossing over other people or taking their things away. They loved the Lord and they loved their neighbor. And so tents in the Word, because of the most ancient people, have this holy and happy meaning of really loving the Lord. Now, because of this holy meaning, when the children of Israel came along, the Lord commanded them to build a beautiful tent as their place to worship Him, called the tabernacle. And in the center of the tabernacle was the Ten Commandments in the beautiful golden ark. That's where they worshiped the Lord. And also, every year, when all the work was done of gathering in the crops of all the good things the Lord had given them, then they had a festival, a feast, called the Festival of Tabernacles or Tents. And they would all, even though the people lived in houses at that time, they would build tents out of the branches of trees and live in a tent for a week. It was a warm place and it didn't rain very much, so that was fine. And it reminded them of the holy love to the Lord of the most ancient people and also of how they had lived in tents during the 40 years they wandered in the wilderness. When the Lord Himself came into the world, we read about that in the Gospel of John where it says, "And the Word," meaning the Lord, "was made flesh." He was born, and we saw His glory. He came and dwelt in a tabernacle among us, like the Lord pitched His tent among us. And in the second coming, the Lord says, "Behold, the tabernacle, the tent of God, is among us, and He will dwell with us, and He will be our God, and we will be His people." So the Lord wants to dwell among us. And even though we don't live in tents, it's sort of like we could picture the Lord lives in a house just down the street from us. Whenever we go by that house, we can see the Lord. And the Lord can come and talk with us. Does the Lord live with us here in Kempton? Yes, of course He does. He lives with everyone, everywhere, who wants to follow Him. Very close by, right with us. And we can talk to Him as often as we want. So we can see that the Lord is living with us and we are living in His tent, the heavenly doctrine says, when we notice certain things. If we notice that we are having good thoughts about the Lord or good thoughts about our neighbor, when we want to do kind things for someone else, not for any reward, but just because we love to help people, this particular person, when we feel sorry for someone who's in trouble, and especially if we feel sorry for them because they're confused about who the Lord is and how to follow Him, then we can tell that the Lord is working with us. We are living at that time in the Lord's tent. Now we can think some more about journeys, the meaning of journeys, because the most ancient people journeyed with their tents. There are lots of stories about journeys in the Word. Like in our lesson, we read about Abraham and how he journeyed from the place where he grew up all the way to the promised land and then down to Egypt and back. Later it tells about how he sent his servant way back to the place where he had been living to find a wife for Isaac, namely Rebekah. And the Lord led the servant on the way. There's the story about Jacob when he was going back to the land where his father had come from, and he had that wonderful dream about the angels ascending and descending on the stairway with the Lord at the top. And there's the story about Joseph coming down to Egypt, and then later his family journeying down to Egypt to be with Joseph. And maybe most important of all, there's the story of Moses and how he led the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt through the Red Sea to Mount Sinai, and then for 40 years through the wilderness to get to the promised land, a long, long journey. Now, Jesus himself, when he came into the world, a lot of his ministry was spent journeying all over the land of Galilee, especially teaching people the way to heaven and healing them. And he and his disciples journeyed up to Jerusalem for the Passovers and the other feasts. So we can see journeys are a very important part of the story of the Word. And our life is like a journey. The Lord provides that we're born as little babies, and he leads us through the course of our life to become children and to become teenagers and to become young adults. He leads us to find good work that we can do. He leads us to find a married partner. He leads us to have children. He helps us while we are trying to raise our children and the children get older. Maybe we get to see them get married. And maybe we even get to help them when they have children, be grandparents. The Lord leads us through all these stages of our life into old age with its wisdom and its innocence. And then he leads us into heaven. So we can see our whole life is a journey of changes of state. We're not the same person as we were before. And journeys, the Lord says, represent learning new things. We learn new things, and then I used to think this way, but now I think this way. I used to say that, but now I don't say that anymore. I say this instead. I used to do these kinds of things, but I see that's not so good, so now I do it this way instead. We are a different person. The Lord is leading us all through the course of our life, teaching us new things, helping us become a new person. And so we also read that journeys represent temptations, which are the process. The only way that we can get from this world to heaven is through the wilderness of temptations, because the Lord needs to change us from the way we automatically tend to be rather selfish and worldly. He needs to change us into angels by our free choice if we're willing to follow him along the journey. And so he even allows evil spirits to attack us sometimes so we can make a real choice. Am I going to follow my selfish inclinations and the evil spirits and do what they want me to do? Am I going to follow the Lord and be led to heaven? Heaven is a gift from the Lord. It's like an inheritance in the promised land. That gift is the gift of loving to do what's good and not loving to do what's bad anymore. I don't like that anymore. I love to do what's good. That's a gift from the Lord. And the way the Lord leads us to that gift is by teaching us truths. What is good? And then we make ourselves do it more and more. We keep making ourselves learn new things and we do them. And the Lord gradually changes our heart from being selfish to being an angel, being someone who really cares about his neighbor, for example, not just about ourselves. So we can be people who follow the Lord on the journey of life. We can be people who live in the Lord's tent and be living in a tent in a community with the Lord's tent in the center. We can teach our children how to love the Lord and how to love their neighbor in our tents at home, and be like the most ancient people in that way. And then the Lord's prophecy about his second coming will be fulfilled. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell in a tabernacle among them. And God himself will be with them, their God. Amen.